The Happy Pair podcast is sponsored by Vivo Barefoot Shoes. Use the code HAPPYPAIR25 to get 25% off your next or your first pair of Vivo Barefoot Shoes. Today's guest is the wonderful Dr. Victoria Sampson. She's a pioneering functional dentist who's carved out a distinctive niche in the intersection of dental health and technology and is a real expert in terms of the oral microbiome. Her research has earned her global recognition, leading to a role as a scientific advisor and board member for various dental companies. She has a strong focus in the connection between oral health and overall wellness. She's published extensively, with her work receiving significant accolades, including the most cited and viewed article in the British Dental Journal. Her innovative approach and dedication to healthcare saw her shortlisted to the Forbes 30 Under 30 in Health and Science in 2022, which was a testament. She's the first ever dentist to be recommended, you know, to be shortlisted for the Forbes 30 Under 30, which is amazing. This is a wonderful practical conversation where many of those questions that you feel intimidated to ask your dentist to, because it just seems too obvious, we get to ask, and really does shine light on the topic of the oral microbiome, which to me and to many, this might be the first time you're learning more about this.
And the correlation between your mouth and your, as Stephen said, your oral microbiome and the whole kind of ecosystem within your mouth as a reflection of the greater body, the systemic link in terms of
your
health.
This is a great conversation, extremely practical. We learned loads, and Victoria is a brilliant spokesperson.
Yeah. So without further ado, we give you the wonderful Dr. Victoria Sampson. Great to have you. Lovely to be chatting to you. Really
is. Thanks, Amel.
Yeah, really interesting. So like we're super fans of gut microbiome. Like that's been something that like we've worked with a gastroenterologist for, I'd say, 7 years, and like created a gut course and had, you know, I'd say about 30,000 people through this course. Like, and the gut microbiome has been a huge area of our interest for the last large number of years. And it hasn't really, like, you know, the way you think of the whole gastroenteral tract, and you think of, you know, it ends with the gut and the large intestine and then it goes out that way. But then the oral one, like, you don't really think of the oral microbiome, but yet it's the first barrier of entry. Like, our mouth is obviously the biggest hole in our body. And therefore, you would want the most amount of protection in your mouth just in case you eat silly things or whatnot. So it makes sense in every sense. There's my opening statement.
Yeah. Is that a question, Dave?
No, it's just a ramble, really.
Good ramble.
Thanks.
You're preaching to the choir. No, it's like everyone's kind of known about gut microbiome testing. Everyone's like super, I would say the majority of people have taken some sort of probiotic or done a gut microbiome test or, you know, but no one actually thinks about their oral microbiome or how, like, you, if you actually want to have a truly balanced microbiome, if you're a terrible mouth, you're just constantly seeding that bacteria back into your gut. So there's no point in doing just one microbiome without doing the other.
Mm. Yeah, is there a link? Is there even a link between, like, obviously there must be a link because it's one track, like, you know, it's one system. But I know the gut microbiome probably has more diversity in terms of microbes. And then the oral microbiome probably has a different, you know, a more predatorial, I'd imagine,
defense
mechanism there rather than the gut. But you might know better otherwise.
So, yeah, you're right. The gut microbiome is more diverse and larger. And then the oral microbiome is the second most diverse and large microbiome. So the gut probably, you know, has hundreds of billions of bacteria, and the oral microbiome is about 2 billion bacteria. And that is made up of 700 different species of bacteria. So they actually, the oral microbiome still is very much an ecosystem, which needs to be very balanced, similar to the gut. It's just, I guess, on a smaller scale, which actually makes oral microbiome testing and management of the oral microbiome easier because you have less bugs to balance as opposed to the gut.
And then you also, it's easier to just spit in a cup rather than having to do poop tests.
Exactly. It's just so much easier to do oral microbiome testing. Otherwise, I have to like give them a package and I'm like, okay, like, you know, I'll see you in a couple of days. And they have to go and, you know, do their business and come back. It's much more complicated and a lot more expensive as well.
And then in terms of the oral microbiome, for anyone listening to this who's new to this, why should they care about it? Why should they suddenly go, oh, oral microbiome, I should be really interested in this?
So I think there's kind of two parts to it. So the first is your oral microbiome is connected to oral diseases. So things like decay, like gum disease, even bad breath, fungal infections, you know, all of those types of localized things are caused by your oral microbiome. So every disease really in your body is often caused by some microbiome being imbalanced. And most of the dental diseases are caused by an imbalanced oral microbiome. So If you are someone who maybe doesn't understand why you keep on having decay, or why you have really bad breath, even though you've done everything you can, or you have gum disease and you brush and floss twice a day, then it might be that actually your microbiome is imbalanced and you have high levels of certain bacteria which are causing that disease and causing that problem. So that's your like kind of local reason why you should be obsessed with your oral microbiome. And then the second is actually more of a systemic connection. So we now know that the mouth is strongly connected to the rest of your body. I think for a very, very long time, a lot of people thought that the mouth was like a separate entity. And we spent ages doing everything else. Even doctors, they would, you know, look at everywhere else, but they often wouldn't actually look in the mouth. And they were like, that's for the dentist. And now in the past about 10, 15 years, the research to show the connection between the oral microbiome and the rest of the body is super, super strong. And so if you have an imbalanced oral microbiome, you're increasing your risk of inflammation, of bacteria traveling to the rest of the body, and lots and lots of different systemic diseases as well.
Wow. And like, there's a few people who I know in my life who've got bad breath, and they kind of consistently have bad breath. And might that be, what might that be from? It could be a lack of brushing, like, you know, but assuming it's not a lack of brushing, what else might it be?
So there are a few bacteria in the oral microbiome which release sulfur. So they're called volatile sulfur releasing compounds. And they, I mean, if anyone has ever gone to like a, you know, sulfur volcano or they've ever smelled sulfur, it's disgusting. And that's actually where most bad breath comes from, is those specific bacteria which are, you know, allowed to grow, and they release sulfur, and that's what causes the bad breath. So that's number one. Number two is, yes, not brushing your teeth for a long time. Gum disease is also another one. And then the last is actually gut problems. So again, because the oral and the gut microbiome are intimately connected or extensions of each other, often you can actually have problems from the gut, which you are smelling or feeling up in your mouth. And the interesting thing about the mouth is that unlike the gut, it changes over. There's a turnover every 25 days. So the cells in your oral microbiome or your mouth, they turn over much quicker than anywhere else in the rest of your body. So that means you can see things, feel things much quicker in your mouth than anywhere else.
There's much more blood flow in your mouth than any other part of your body, isn't it? Your tongue heals the quickest. So yeah, blood flow would imply that. And say, for example, someone does have bad breath and they have these sulfur, you know, volatile sulfur compounds in their mouth. Like, is that an indicator that there could be something else in their body? You know, because your gut is a great reflection of your immune system. And I'm wondering if the mouth is probably the first port of call or the kind of lighthouse giving you warnings or whatnot. Have you found a correlation between people that have an out of balance oral microbiome be a reflection of that their health at large is, you know, a warning sign in a sense?
Definitely. There's the correlation or the connection between the two. Which one has caused which is difficult to say. But for example, what the types of patients I see a lot of are patients who suffer from chronic inflammatory diseases. So things like rheumatoid arthritis, that's a really big one. We see a lot of diabetes, and a lot of these diseases have a bidirectional relationship with the oral microbiome. So if you have, the more imbalanced your oral microbiome is, the worse the complication or the other systemic diseases. So yeah, there's a very strong connection there.
We opened one of Ireland's first juice bars back in 2005, and juicing is one of the quickest ways that you can build your immune system. The main juicer that people use is a centrifugal juicer, and through heat, there's often enzyme loss and vitamin mineral loss. Ideally, the best juicer you can use is a masticating juicer. However, often they can be fiddly to clean, difficult to use, and just often not worth the hassle. We partnered with Namawell Juicers. They are incredible masticating juicers, next level. And the J2 juicer, really, the quality of the juice is incredible. They've solved all the problems that are typically associated with masticating juicers. They're one of the first people to revolutionize the juice industry in the last 10 years in that they've introduced a hopper to a masticating juicer. So you can actually juice hands-free. You can add whole carrots, whole apples. The juice is top quality and they're easy to use. The juice is extremely high quality, whether vegetable juice, green juice, carrot juice, celery juice, there's a whole range. It's next level quality juice. They're offering you 10% off with the code HAPPYPAIR10. That's Namawell Juicers. There's a link down below and we couldn't recommend it more. It really is a game changer in terms of juicing. You say, for example, rheumatoid arthritis, there's so many aspects that could be a part of that kind of disease or whatnot. And if you started trying to rectify the imbalanced oral microbiome, have you found that that can have an effect on the actual arthritis? Because, you know, the way either you treat the symptoms up at the top or you treat the deep root, and they'll probably both work, but just wondering what's the effect if you start with treating the oral microbiome.
So actually, that's how I got into everything I do. It was one patient and she had terrible rheumatoid arthritis, and she had a functional doctor, and her doctor, she'd seen multiple people before that, and she was just really frustrated because she was on loads and loads of steroids. She could hardly walk and her rheumatoid arthritis was terrible. And then she started seeing this functional doctor. He changed her diet. He put her on a whole load of supplements. And he was like, oh, you've gone to a dentist. And I was good friends with this doctor. And he sent the patient to me. And I was just starting my kind of journey of oral microbiome testing, of testing saliva for enzymes, all of this. So I used her as kind of my guinea pig, I guess. And we did everything on her. And we found that actually she had terrible gum disease. She'd had like 6-7 teeth taken out from the time she was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis to the time I saw her, which is like huge, over 2 years. She had 6-7 teeth taken out. And so what we did is we treated her gum disease. We put her on the whole kind of oral hygiene regime. We did a lot of different treatments on her. And in combination with the work that she was doing with her functional practitioner, we were able to actually completely eradicate all of her medications. So she was completely off steroids. She was able to walk again. Her symptoms were so much better. And what was interesting was that she had seen multiple other doctors and nutritionists beforehand, but none of them had ever thought actually maybe a dentist needs to get involved in here. And the only difference in her kind of final time with this new doctor was that I got involved too. And I think people fail to forget that if you've got loads of inflammation in your mouth or loads of bacteria and that travels elsewhere, then it's adding petrol to the fire. So if you have rheumatoid arthritis and you've got tons of inflammation in your mouth and that's traveling constantly, then your rheumatoid arthritis will never, ever be better because you have this constant, you know, release of inflammation from the mouth.
Wow, amazing. So did you start by trying to treat the gum disease? Was that the kind of core root of it? And how do you treat gum disease? I don't know how you do it.
It depends on how bad the gum disease is. We do a lot of like deep cleaning. So just like, you know, you probably go and see the hygienist. We might go a little bit deeper. So we go deeper under the gum, get rid of all the bacteria that's sitting underneath the gum, which is causing all of those, you know, the infections, inflammation, the disease. What I do is I do the microbiome testing. So I'll check your saliva for your bacteria, and then we'll look at what bacteria is causing the disease. And then when I'm doing my deep clean, I'll then know exactly what, you know, mouthwash or what gel I should use to get rid of that specific bacteria personal to that person, because we all have different bacteria in our mouth. So it's not right to just, you know, for everyone to use the same mouthwash and for everyone to use the same toothpaste. So we personalize it. And sometimes we have to prescribe antibiotics too. And we get rid of the bacteria in a much more focused way. And then the gum disease heals as a result.
Very customized service. Very good. There's one thing that I'm fascinated with is that I was reading something earlier that spoke about men having a different pH of their saliva to women, and that women's saliva pH will typically change throughout their menstrual cycle. Is there any truth to this? And do people need to pay heed to this?
I mean, I wouldn't say that men and women have, you know, massively different pHs of their saliva, but I do agree that women's saliva pH will change depending on where they are in their menstrual cycle. And that's also connected with if they are pregnant and if they are trying to conceive or on their period or whatnot, because it really does change the saliva and the gums. So women who are even on their period will find a hygiene a lot more uncomfortable. They might be a lot more sensitive when they're having their cleans done. For the acidity of the saliva, so the pH generally, I don't know if it's men versus women. Everyone's pH is slightly different, but it is super important to actually take that into consideration, because pH, or having a highly acidic saliva, will increase your risk of decay, and basically the demineralization of the tooth. And that's what causes your caries and your decay of your teeth.
Like, wow. Is that why various different toothpaste will have baking soda in them, which is ultimately alkaline, just to balance out that acidity so that you're less likely to erode your enamel?
Exactly. It is exactly the same. So that's why, yeah, they are trying to neutralize the pH of the saliva. There's a lot of new, like, chewing gums and, you know, mints and pastilles, which I actually recommend to some of my patients, who, so that when they have maybe something which is sugary, and we know that's kind of bad for you, then the saliva, if the saliva is acidic, then we eat the mint and that will neutralize it, so they don't have any decay afterwards.
We love Vivo Barefoot Shoes. We really, really do. And they're offering you 25% off your next pair of Vivo shoes, which is the biggest discount we've ever got from them.
One of the reasons why we love them so much is that they've got minimal soles, so that you can feel more of the environment that you're in. Your feet have the same amount of nerve endings as your hands, and your feet serve as the foundation of all your movement practices. And the more you can get feedback from the environment, the more engaged and the more likely you're going to transition through the environment in a more efficient manner.
Studies have shown that by wearing Vivo Barefoot shoes, your foot strength will increase by 60% within a matter of months. So that really is incredible. As we said, you get 25% off with the code HAPPYPAIR25. It's one of the biggest discounts they've ever offered. They've got a full range for men's, women's, kids, and for all ranges from leisure to fancy and everything in between. And a lot of outdoors footwear is to help you thrive in wild places.
We love them. And where will you find details?
VivoBarefoot.com. And there's a link down below in the show notes.
That's clever.
Amazing.
Makes a lot of sense.
Okay, I'd love to talk to you about teeth and the heart. Because it's a crazy one that, like, a friend of ours, his brother died from, like, it was a heart complication, but it came via his teeth. And, like, he was a 50-year-old man, and it was something I hadn't really heard that much of. It. He just hadn't been to the dentist in a long period of time and whatnot, you know, because he had all sorts of other issues going on. But there is a direct correlation between the teeth and the heart. And could you talk about that, please?
Yeah. Probably most likely this friend of yours may have suffered from infective endocarditis. And so what that is basically, if you have any pre-existing heart condition, so mainly like a faulty heart valve, like a leaky valve, or, you know, congenitally your heart is maybe slightly damaged, then what can happen is that bacteria which is in your mouth can travel through the body and actually cause an infection around the heart tissue, and that's what causes infective endocarditis. So that's why most patients who suffer from any heart condition, we often will actually make them take antibiotics before having any big dental treatments, so that any bacteria which is in the mouth is not able to travel to that high risk area, so that the heart, which is, you know, maybe damaged or injured. So that's kind of your number one. And then there's also just a very strong connection with high blood pressure and just with increased risk of heart disease. So there's a 30% increased chance of heart disease if you suffer from gum disease. And it's because of the blood vessels. So the bacteria and the inflammation in your mouth can travel throughout the body, and it can actually damage the blood vessels, which are supplying blood to your whole body. And the way they damage it is that the blood vessels are not able to dilate and constrict as they normally would. And so that means that you have reduced supply of blood to the heart. And then that's why you would get, you know, heart disease or high blood pressure. And this mechanism is actually similar for a lot of the other conditions connecting the mouth to the rest of the body. So same with like erectile dysfunction. So again, it's that the blood vessels are constricted, they're not able to dilate properly, so blood is not able to travel to the penis, and that's why there's a three times more likely chance of erectile dysfunction if you have gum disease.
Well, wow. You don't think gum disease and erectile dysfunction, they typically don't go together, even in the same sentence, you know.
But the same way, like teeth and heart, like that's such a strange correlation. But when you talk about it there, it makes sense, because your mouth is like the outpost of the rest of your body, and the bacteria in your mouth, because there's so much more blood supply to it, you know, the the whatever's going on in there is going to be reflected in throughout
your body.
It's
almost like the feedback, the quick immediate feedback mechanism to your overall health of your body, or a clear indicator in many different ways.
Wow. And from taking someone's from taking someone's oral microbiome, like at this stage now that you've been doing it for a few years, would you have a reasonable reflection going, okay, this person is likely to be pre-diabetic, or this person is likely to have heart conditions, or this person, like, there must be patterns which you see. Do you find that you can see this from doing microbiome testings, oral microbiome testings?
So we're not yet at the stage where I can check your oral microbiome and be like, I think you might get heart disease in 5 years' time. We're not there yet, but I am working on it. So we're actually at the moment in the process of using machine learning and AI to actually look at all of the microbiome tests of patients that we're collecting. And then the idea is that, let's say in 5 years' time, be able to retrospectively look and see, okay, you know, how many patients got heart disease or, you know, got diabetes after 5 years, and then see whether or not there are any trends in their oral microbiomes which could be a predictor for disease in the future. But we're not there yet. What we are able to do is see certain bacteria which shouldn't be in the oral microbiome. So that can show you gut dysbiosis. So if I'm seeing bacteria from your gut in your mouth, then most likely you have some sort of reflux.
Acid reflux,
so you have some sort of reflux. Or there are a few bacteria which will show that you have chronic inflammation. So I can't say what, I can't say why, but I know that this person's most likely suffering from something else in their body to do with inflammation. So it's, again, maybe rheumatoid arthritis, maybe their body is under a lot of stress, and they shouldn't be releasing that. They shouldn't be having that bacteria.
Wow, really, really interesting.
Can I ask about the role of diet and fiber? Because, you know, often...
Weston Price.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, like, Weston Price, he's the guy, you know...
In the 1930s, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. We had conversations with, what's the lovely Brett guy?
Patrick McKeown.
James Nestor. And he was talking about, he had done lots of study on Weston Price, and he was talking about breathing and palates and all this. But I know he was a dentist from the 1930s that found that when he went to rural parts of the world, they had very good teeth and very little incidence of heart disease or gum disease, because they were eating very, you know, fibrous, more kind of basic.
Tubers.
Yeah, a lot of tubers and whatnot. Whereas the modern industrial diet, you know, from high income countries tends to be ultra processed, and therefore there's less fiber to chew on. So it's a bit like building muscles. Their teeth aren't exercising by chewing fiber.
Or their jaws.
Their jaws, and therefore their mouths are getting smaller, and that's why there's more teeth. Like, I remember when I was 13, I had to get 6 teeth taken out to get braces or whatnot. And I know my daughter is probably the same, and I wonder, is this from generations of people not eating enough fiber in our genetic line?
Yeah. So exactly what you said. So Weston Price did a lot of research to show that, yes, if you have a more refined, call it maybe a westernized diet, with a lot more refined carbohydrates and more processed foods, the muscles around the jaw are not being exercised enough, which then means when you're young as a child, your skeleton does not grow to be as large as it should. And the problem is that our jaws are becoming smaller, as evolution goes, but our teeth are staying the same size, if not actually getting a bit bigger. And so that's why we're seeing a lot more crowding over, you know, the last few decades. And even as well, like, I was actually thinking this yesterday, that I'm seeing so many more patients where their wisdom teeth only to be taken out, where they're all coming out in the wrong position. I would say a lot more than maybe 5 years ago or even 10 years ago. It's definitely becoming worse. And they say it's because of the kind of, lack of hard foods.
Lack of fiber. Wow.
And what about, like, so our good friend, Dr. Alan Desmond, who's the gastroenterologist who we work with, he talks about the single biggest thing for the gut microbiome is fiber. He says fiber is so fundamentally important, which obviously comes from, you know, plant raw roughage and whole plant foods. And I'm just wondering, in terms of the link between diet and oral microbiome, does food, like, obviously it doesn't process food in the same way a gut does. It's more like it passes through it. But is there any indicators, or is one just a reflection of the other, really, in terms of gut dysbiosis or gut health and oral microbiome?
So I would say the fiber is not as directly important for the oral microbiome as it probably is for the gut. it definitely helps, but like you said, it passes through. It's not really doing that much in the mouth. So actually eating hard foods is quite important. Exercising your jaw muscles is very important. And actually, so this also, I always compare it to my, for my patients, to dogs, where, like, I don't know if any of you have a dog, but
little Daisy's just sitting there beside me.
Oh, right, really? Okay, yeah, great. So has your dog ever needed a filling?
No. Maybe she does. No. We've never taken her to the dog dentist. never taken it. Or yet to.
So dogs pretty much never need fillings. They never have decay. The only thing sometimes they get is gum disease. You know, you've never heard of a dog needing like root canals and braces or anything like that, right?
But is that because, you know, like dogs, like they almost inhale the food, like it doesn't seem to stay in their mouth for, like they just horse it into them. You know, that's when I see your dog, it just like, and it's gone and they're done their dinner in about 30 seconds.
Maybe that's what we should be doing then too, to avoid having decay, just inhale all our food as quickly as possible. Well, partly yes, but also a lot of dogs will chew on bones. So there's, or like sticks. No one ever really brushes their teeth. They have these sticks that they chew on, which will help to increase their saliva production and kind of naturally get rid of any food that's stuck in between their teeth. And then also they don't eat sugar. And so if you look at dogs, it's kind of what our lives were probably like, you know, in the caveman times, where we had no sugar, we didn't have any refined carbohydrates or food like that. We ate hard foods. And we were very simple with everything. And that's why we didn't have gum disease, decay, we didn't need braces, anything like that. So now that unfortunately our worlds have become maybe more modernized and more westernized, that's why we need to start using things like toothpaste, toothbrushes, floss, seeing the dentist, because we need to counterbalance that.
Yeah, amazing. Back in the day, would we have been chewing on sticks or chewing on kind of harder tubers that would have naturally would have been more fibrous plants that would have almost functioned like floss or functioned like brushes?
Yeah, so actually there's a few cultures which use something called mesbak. And mesbak is like it's like a tree bark. And
yeah,
they chew on it and the tree bark slowly like kind of splinters, and it helps to get rid of things in between the teeth. It's naturally antibacterial. So this is really where our dentistry started.
Wow, amazing. Could we move the conversation into brushing and flossing and like
practical daily activities?
Well, practical things. Well, while we're talking about like, you know, sugar in the modern diet and gum disease and the erosion, like I see back, like we're 44. So when we were kids growing up, when we went around trick-or-treating, we used to get oranges and monkey nuts, and like that's what it was. Whereas our kids go out now and they get like literally 10 kilos of junk in like 15 minutes of calling to 15 houses, like, because it's just so prolific. So I see how much junk is going through their mouths versus ours. Like, and we weren't deprived young kids. Like, we grew up in the Western world and, you know, where there was a certain amount of junk food. And what about brushing nowadays? Like, what do you recommend in terms of brushing in the current processed food environment which we live in? And yeah, basics around that, really. I'd love to hear what you think.
So for kids, I still like a manual toothbrush. I think every child should know how to use a normal manual toothbrush before they start, you know, going on to electric. And then from about kind of 12 years old and up, I recommend an electric toothbrush. You want to make sure that it's rechargeable, so no battery-powered ones. You want the chargeable port ones. My favorite personally is the Oral-B IO. It's just got a different technology. It's got a small toothbrush head, pressure sensor. I'm not sponsored by them. I just really like their toothbrush. So that's toothbrush. Toothpaste, I kind of think it's kind of like skincare in the sense that everyone needs different things. And so it should be kind of prescribed for each person. But if we were going for like a good all-rounder, I have two favorite ones. So one is called Biomin. It's Biomin, and it's basically created by university. It's got really good minerals in it. So it's got your calcium, phosphate. It's got fluoride in it too, but it's very low in SLS. So it doesn't damage the microbiome. And it's just a really, probably one of the most remineralizing, strengthening toothpastes on the market. And it's amazing for sensitivity. And then my other favorite is called Super Teeth. and it is a prebiotic toothpaste. So it's got a kind of food for the good bacteria in your toothpaste. And it also has a few vitamins in it. So it's got your coenzyme Q10 in it, and it's got pollenin in it too. And it's got hydroxyapatite, so it's fluoride free. So it's kind of two options depending on, I guess, what camp you're in and what you want from your toothpaste.
Yeah, amazing. They're two cool ones. Because normally, like I'd say most people listening, they know like there's Colgate or there's Aquafresh. I don't know all the main
Sensodyne or
whatever. But the ones you get in the supermarket, and are they like, how do they compare to Biomin toothpaste and Super Teeth? Because those are two toothpastes I've never heard of. And I'm like, wow, what a cool answer.
Yeah, they're very niche. I guess your normal store-bought toothpaste are generally not that bad, but a lot of them might have like kind of bad chemicals in them, like titanium dioxide, aluminium. They have SLS in them, so sodium lauryl sulfate, and that's what makes toothpaste froth, which people enjoy, but it actually also strips the oil from your mouth, and it's quite damaging to the mouth. So that's why I prefer the other two toothpastes over like maybe your average store-bought one.
It's amazing, that foaming thing. It's a bit like they say, what do they call it? Psychological benefits, that when something foams, you think it works better, you feel like it works better. So therefore you're kind of, you almost psychologically, you know, expect it. Whereas if something doesn't foam, you think it's less superior. But, you know, the byproduct is it has SLS and a chemical, which might not be the best for us. So very interesting. The next one I just wanted to talk about was flossing, because some people are like so into flossing.
I love flossing.
Yeah, I love it. I find it quite satisfying. But I wonder,
it's like going fishing or something.
But maybe your teeth. But I know some dentists we've been to in the past have been like, so you've got to floss like every day or twice every day. And then other dentists have said to us, no, flossing isn't that important. It's much more about this. So what is your experience?
I'm in the first camp of dentists. So flossing is important. 30% of the bacteria is actually in between your teeth. So if you're only brushing, you're only doing 70% of the job. So definitely need to floss. There's some really, really cool flosses on the market as well. So you can get like your normal classic floss just to get rid of stuff. There are now some new flosses on the market which actually have like fluoride or hydroxyapatite in the floss. So when you're going in between the teeth, it actually also leaves good stuff in between the teeth at the same time. So good, it reduces the risk of decay.
What are any brands of those ones? Hydroxychloride. They have hydroxychloride. So that doesn't sound like something I can buy in the local supermarket. What are examples of things in that?
So hydroxyapatite, the floss is the only one I really like is, again, sorry, I'm also not sponsored by them, but Super Cheap. It tastes like cocoa butter and it's really nice. Again, you know, and then if you want a normal floss, my favorite, and you can see I'm still at work, is Oral-B Pro Expert Premium Floss, because it's thick and it actually gets rid of all the stuff properly.
Okay, good one. Really interesting. And what about on flossers in terms of like water flossers? Because I know
Wife loves a water floss.
Yeah, we have one at home too, but like
I always find them tickly, like, oh, you know, that type of feeling.
Are they good or bad?
I mean, they're good, but they're like an A++, like an extra addition. Like if you were to brush twice a day and floss twice a day, that's kind of like all you really need. If you want to be an overachiever and you really want to go extra, then a water flosser is fantastic. But honestly, you can get the result that you need just from brushing and flossing. Water flosser, the only concern I have with it sometimes is that some people think that it replaces the need for hygiene, or they can sometimes actually damage their teeth if they're getting a bit too aggressive with their water flosser. So it's great if you like using it, go for it, enjoy, but still go and see your hygienist regularly. It doesn't replace the need for them.
Okay, nice. Cool. Can I go?
No.
Okay, right, I've got one.
Pressure.
More.
I love a really bristly, strong toothbrush, and I love to like really have a good go at it. And I feel like I'm doing good work. And maybe it's like I'm digging holes quicker or I'm cleaning the floor better. Is pressure really important? Because I see more and more commercials talking about the importance of the pressurized. This toothbrush tells me the optimum pressure with which I am to brush my teeth.
So the algorithm is serving you pressure.
Sorry, it is the moment, yes.
Yes, it's really, really important. And that's one thing I'm seeing a lot more of as well, is that I feel like maybe for me, the type of patient that I attract is quite a patient who optimizes their health. They want to be healthy. And one of the side effects of that is someone who brushes too hard because they're overachievers. They're like, yeah, you know, I'm going to do 110%. I'm going to brush even harder. And what actually happens is you start brushing your gums away. So right. You can get quite bad recession. Or you brush your teeth away as well. And that can cause really severe sensitivity if you're brushing the enamel away. Wow. So the issue with that is that we can't grow back your teeth and we can't grow back your gums. So once you've lost it, the treatment for it is quite big. Like you need to have gum surgery, gum graft. It's a really big ordeal. Wow. So that's why it is really, really important to use either an electric toothbrush with a pressure sensor. That's my favorite. Or you need to use quite a soft manual toothbrush, which has lots of very like delicate bristles, but it's still quite soft.
An electric versus manual. I'm maybe old school and I love an old manual toothbrush. And I quite feel like I'm a rebel against this electrical revolution. Just curious. I'm guessing I'm wrong. But just, yeah,
you are
a bit of a caveman. However, a happy little caveman.
So you brush too hard. You brush too hard with a manual toothbrush.
Stephen Flynn,
C or D.
No, but that is the classic presentation. It's you're exactly that patient who you feel like you do a better job with a manual toothbrush because you like to brush really hard, and it does feel better, but it's much worse for your gums. So you in particular would really benefit from a pressure sensor electric toothbrush and just like going over the technique. So again, a lot of people, they go like from left right, you know, and they're going back and forth, which is not the way you're meant to brush your teeth. You're meant to do like circular motions at the right angle. And again, people aren't really taught how to brush their teeth. You know, you kind of learn from maybe your parents. If not, you know, it's quite difficult. So I now actually teach most people how to brush their teeth. Like they show me how they brush their teeth in the mirror and then I tell them if it's good or not.
Circular motion. We didn't get that class.
So electric, yes. Electric better.
Pressure,
less good.
Yes.
Pressure.
Okay.
Electric pressure one. And with the electric one, you're meant to just go nice and slow over each tooth, slow. One
exactly.
Yeah.
And timer as well, because most people, when they think that they're brushing for 2 minutes with a manual toothbrush, actually are brushing for 30 seconds. So the good thing with electric toothbrush as well is that it actually times you and you know that you're brushing for 2 minutes.
Yeah, I remember changing an electric toothbrush and I was amazed, like, oh my God, that's only a minute already. I thought I'd done it twice as good. You know, like, it's amazing. That's so true. Okay, last couple of questions for you. Brushing in the morning, because you haven't eaten food, I always felt like morning time, I do it, but I've always been curious as like, why?
Because I haven't eaten food. There's going to be no food. I brushed the night before. Like, it's like, I didn't eat anything unless someone stuck food in my mouth. Like, why do I need to brush them? They're clean. That was the logic in my mind.
So again, because of the saliva. So if you have reduced saliva over nighttime, then lots of different bacteria are able to grow. Things can change. The environment can change quite significantly overnight. So it's good to kind of disrupt that in the morning. But then also you're placing that good toothpaste onto your teeth. And it's kind of like, I compare it to sunscreen. So if you're about to go on the beach, you would always go and put your sunscreen on, right? So it's exactly the same in the morning. You put your toothpaste on your teeth because you're ready for your day and you don't want to get any like decay or any problems.
Okay, last question. Tongue brushing. So, you know, using a metal tongue scraper. Yes, no. What do you think of tongue scraper? I just find it very satisfying. Like it pulls all this bleh out of your mouth. Like it's extremely satisfying. They ain't a phlegm on your tongue. If anyone's used them, I'm sure you can relate to it.
Yeah, you'd be surprised how much comes out like when you're doing your tongue scraping. I like tongue scraping. However, you just need to be quite careful with how hard you scrape. So I see a lot of patients who just go a bit too wild on their tongue scraper. And what happens is you actually start to irritate the tiny little taste buds on your tongue and then they overgrow. And then you get even more kind of white patches or red patches or sometimes black patches on the tongue. And then these patients kind of get into this self-perpetuating cycle where then they start, you know, brushing even more and then it overgrows even more. And then, you know, it becomes a nightmare. So I probably tongue scrape a couple of nights a week, not every night, And I would recommend like a metal tongue scraper. So one of that, like the iovertic ones, none of those plastic bristly ones. So an iovertic one and not too hard. So you're just kind of looping it around the tongue gently to get rid of any of the surface stuff.
Oh, I find it amazing in the morning. The morning is so much more satisfying because
you get a better harvest.
You get a much better harvest, like phlegm city in the morning. Whereas at night, it's just not as prolific. So anyway,
morning's fine too. You can continue with your morning tongue scrape.
Yeah, nice. Okay, great.
I've enjoyed this conversation. Amazing.
Great crack.
Thank you, Victoria. Normally, dentist, I'm always scared to go to the dentist. So that was really enjoyable.
That was great.
Very, very practical. For anyone listening, how can they find out more about you, or how could they attend your clinic or your practice?
So we have a clinic in Mayfair in London. It's called the Health Society. So you can follow us on Instagram or go on our website or my Instagram, which is Dr. Victoria Sampson.
Brilliant. Very cool. Well done. And your clinic it's very interesting because it's not just dentistry. It's thinking of the mouth as part of the whole body, which is well done with setting that up. That sounds really progressive.
Yeah, you guys need to come. It's we opened about 9 months ago. So we're the first actually in the world to be doing oral and gut microbiome testing, blood tests, IV drips. We have an infrared sauna. We have nutritionists, and then we work with doctors at the same time. So we have patients from, you know, someone who just wants a checkup and doesn't care about any of that stuff, and they just want a normal dentist, to people who might be extremely unwell and they need maybe more of a multidisciplinary approach where their doctor, their dentist, you know, for example, your friend you were saying who passed away, you know, if they had heart conditions and they were seeing the dentist and the dentist was speaking to their cardiologist, and the cardiologist was speaking to their nutritionist, it would just make the care of that patient so much better and more seamless. And so that's what we're trying to do at our clinic.
And that's you, your mom, and your sister, is it?
Yeah, so it's family. It's a family business.
Amazing.
Amazing. Yeah, we work with our brothers and it's wonderful. We love it.
Yeah, so amazing. Fair play to you.
Good, there's no one I trust more than them. So it worked quite well. Here we are now.
Good on you, Mayfair. Okay, brilliant. Fair play to you. Well, for Mayfair, we'll let you know.
Please do. Please drop by whenever you can.
Yeah.
Okay. Brilliant. Brilliant.
Cheers, Victoria.
Thanks
See
again.
You
thanks so much. Really appreciate
Perfect.
It.
Thanks. Bye. Bye. Thanks so much for having me.
Pleasure.
All right.
Pleasure.
Bye.
Thanks again.
Bye.
While we have you, once a week we write a newsletter. It's called Happier. It's got simple, tried and tested practices to make your life better. We include recipes and practices that you can apply on a daily basis to make your life happier. We've had lots of people say before that it's really helped make their life better. So you can sign up on the happypair.ie, our weekly newsletter called Happier.